seated. We will continue this morning our study of the sacrament of penance, confession, or at least information that pertains to the sacrament of penance, by covering lesson 33, which is entitled Temporal Punishment and Indulgences, while we are studying confession and the topic of sins being forgiven and still need to be atoned for. It's important that we understand what temporal punishment is and also indulgences. What is an indulgence? An indulgence is the remission granted by the church of the temporal punishment due to sins already forgiven. So there are two things we need to understand about a sin, or two things that a sin does to us over and above, if it's a mortal sin, the loss of grace, or a loss of friendship with God. But a sin, whether mortal or venial, incurs two things. First of all, guilt, and secondly, temporal punishment. And that means that by committing a sin, we have, first of all, been guilty of offending God, and secondly, we've contracted a debt that we have to make up for. In the case of mortal sin, it's eternal punishment if the sin never is forgiven. If the sin is forgiven, then eternal punishment is wiped out, but temporal punishment remains, which means the person will have to suffer to atone for the sin, either in this life by penance and prayer and good works, or in purgatory, perhaps for many years. An indulgence, which will take away temporal punishment or part of the temporal punishment, an indulgence does not include forgiveness of sins or permission to commit sin. One who is in mortal sin cannot gain an indulgence for himself, nor can one gain an indulgence for the temporal punishment due even to a venial sin until the sin itself has been forgiven by God. Moreover, no one, not even God, can give a person a positive permission to commit sin. One of the things that Martin Luther accused the Catholic Church of when he denied indulgences, he says, by indulgences you are giving people permission to commit sin. And nothing could be further from the truth. That is a total misunderstanding of what an indulgence is. A total misunderstanding. An indulgence is not a license to go out and commit sin. On the contrary, as we said, no one can gain an indulgence who's in the state of sin. To gain an indulgence, the very first requisite means of gaining an indulgence is to be in the state of grace. The very first condition to be in the state of sanctifying grace. To have the intention to gain the indulgence. To be sorry for one's sins. For a plenary indulgence, one, as we will see, one must be sorry for all of his sins. And no one can gain an indulgence, or rather by gaining an indulgence, one cannot have a sin forgiven. The sin itself must be forgiven first through confession. At least mortal sin must always be confession. Venial sins can be forgiven by God by good act of contrition, certain sacramentals. But the sin itself must first be forgiven before the temporal punishment can be remitted by an indulgence. There are two kinds of indulgences, plenary and partial. A plenary indulgence is the remission of all the temporal punishment due to our sins. A partial indulgence is the remission of part of the temporal punishment due to our sins. An example of a partial indulgence would be, for example, an indulgence of 10 years or an indulgence of 50 days, etc. What does this terminology mean? An indulgence of 50 days does not mean that one's purgatory is lessened by 50 days. It means that one's purgatory is lessened by the amount of temporal punishment that would have been remitted by 50 days of the strict penance practiced in the early days of Christianity. In the early centuries of the church, people were given penances for certain sins. For instance, to stand outside the back of the church and wear rough garments and beg people's forgiveness as they walked by and went into the church, and they weren't even allowed to come into the church, or they had to fast, etc. And they were given so many days of such public penance they had to do according to their crime. And so an indulgence remits the amount, according to the 50 days, whatever, remits the amount of temporal punishment that would have been remitted by 50 days penance under the very strict requirements in the early church. The church, by means of indulgences, remits the temporal punishment due to sin by applying to us from her spiritual treasury part of the infinite satisfaction of Jesus Christ and of the superabundant satisfaction of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of the saints. Every good action we perform does several things. It first of all, is a means of calling down God's blessings upon us. It has what we would call an impetratory power. It also is a means of making atonement, and we would call that satisfaction. A good work has a satisfactory value, and it also has a meritorious value, but which means we gain a merit, which is honor in heaven, part of our reward in heaven. But that satisfactory part of a good work or prayer or penance means that it has the value or the ability to remit punishment due to our sins. And the saints, our Blessed Mother, had over and above the satisfaction that they needed. What happened to the satisfactory value of their good works? It went into the treasury of the church. And so the church, by an indulgence, is remitting sin, is taking away the satisfaction due to sin by using the power which the church has to apply to us out of her treasury of the satisfactory value of the wonderful works of the saints of our Blessed Mother that they did not need. What must we do to gain an indulgence for ourselves? To gain an indulgence for ourselves, we must first be in the state of grace. We must have at least a general intention of gaining the indulgence. And third, perform the works required, whether it's saying prayers or whatever. And by the way, with regards to prayers, it is necessary to move one's lips. So if you're gaining the indulgence, for instance, plenary indulgence, after communion, of reciting the prayer before a crucifix, move your lips. And that's also necessary when we perform a penance for confession, to move our lips, not just to say it in our mind, but by having the general intention of gaining the indulgence, being in the state of grace, and then doing the works required, we gain the indulgence. To have the general intention means that you do not have to think of each thing you do. So, for example, if in the morning, when you pray your morning offering, you get up out of bed, you say your morning offering, add to your morning offering words something like this: "And I intend to gain all the indulgences I can this day." And that's good enough. You will then gain the indulgences attached to exercises such as making the sign of the cross, blessing yourself with holy water, saying prayers that have indulgences attached to them. And so we should make that intention each morning to gain all the indulgences we can. What condition is to be noted particularly for the gaining of a plenary indulgence? In addition to the three conditions we mentioned here, to gain a plenary indulgence, one must be sorry for all his sins, including his venial sins. How must prayers be recited to gain an indulgence? As we said, they must be recited vocally, that is, with the lips and tongue, although not necessarily out loud, in such a way that they can be heard. However, the indulgence attached to ejaculatory prayers and invocations can be gained even when they are recited mentally, such prayers as Jesus, Mary, Joseph, or something that's brief to which an indulgence is attached. It's not necessary to say them vocally with our lips. What prayers must be recited when one of the conditions for an indulgence is prayers for the intention of the Pope? When one of the conditions for an indulgence is prayers for the intention of the Pope, it is sufficient to say once the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory be to the Father, or some other prayers. But for a plenary indulgence that can be gained frequently in a day by visiting a church, like the indulgence on November 2nd for the poor souls, one must recite for each indulgence six times the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory be. Now, a normal plenary indulgence, in addition to the other conditions, we would have to say an Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be for the intentions of the Pope. What if you do not have a true Pope, as is the case today? Then we say for the intentions of our Holy Mother, the Church. And we say the Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be, in addition to the other practice. Every time, if you're properly disposed, you recite the Rosary in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, you gain a plenary indulgence, or you can gain a plenary indulgence. Every time, as we said, you say the prayer before a crucifix after Holy Communion, a plenary indulgence each time. The prayer that we say to Christ the King as part of our devotions before Mass, a plenary indulgence for saying that short prayer once a day. There are a number of other prayers to which a plenary indulgence is attached if we say them every day for a month. For example, the Hail Holy Queen. If you say the Hail Holy Queen every day for a month, as we are in the habit of doing after the Rosary, you can gain a plenary indulgence. But for any plenary indulgence to be gained, one must also recite Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be to the Father for the intentions of the Church. That is at least with most plenary indulgences. When confession and the reception of Holy Communion are required for the gaining of an indulgence, when must they be made? When confession is required for the gaining of an indulgence, it can be made within the 8 days that precede the day to which the indulgence is attached. Holy Communion can be received the day before, and both sacraments can be received on the day itself and any day within the following week. So in other words, for confession, a week before or a week after, or on the day itself that you gain the indulgence, and Holy Communion either on the day or 1 day before or throughout the week after it that you gain the plenary indulgence. So, of course, it's a good practice to go to confession often and to receive communion, if possible, daily or at least once a week, and then that would take care of these conditions. Also, something is that's interesting, those who are accustomed to go to confession at least twice a month, and also those who are accustomed to receive Holy Communion every day or at least 5 times a week need not make a special confession to gain any indulgence except a Jubilee indulgence or one of a similar nature. So an indulgence that requires confession within a week, if you're a daily communicant or you go at least 5 times a week to Holy Communion, then you do not even need to make that confession within a week of either side of gaining the indulgence. Although, of course, we should form the habit of going to confession twice a month, every 2 weeks. Can we gain indulgences for others? We cannot gain indulgences for other living persons, but we can gain them for the souls in purgatory, since the Church makes most indulgences applicable to the souls in purgatory. We can gain indulgences for ourselves and for the souls in purgatory, but not for other living persons. They have to do it themselves. We can certainly pray for others, but an indulgence, remember, is the remission of temporal punishment due to sin that has been forgiven. It is applying, the Church applying, the satisfactory value of the superabundant satisfactions gained by our Blessed Mother and the saints, and of course the infinite merits of Christ, applying them to souls who perform certain works. The Church has the right to do this by the power of the keys. And that is the power given to bind and loose, given by our Lord to St. Peter and the Apostles. When our Lord said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Indulgences, then, are tremendous gifts, a tremendous means of grace. And especially for the souls in purgatory, when you release a soul from purgatory, you gain an eternal friend. By performing good works, bringing about the redemption of a soul in purgatory, that the soul is freed from purgatory and can go to heaven, you are performing one of the greatest acts of charity you can perform. And that's something we should always keep in mind. The souls in purgatory cannot help themselves. There was one saint, I don't remember offhand who it was, who released something like, it was a tremendous number, something like 10,000 or even 100,000 souls from purgatory by trying to gain all the indulgences he could every day. There are so many prayers and so many good works to which an indulgence is attached. We should make the effort to gain as many indulgences as we can, and especially commend the souls in purgatory. It's interesting, there is a special act which is called the heroic act, which one can make. And the heroic act is the free gift to the souls in purgatory of all the indulgences one may gain and of all the satisfactory value of his good works, including whatever may be applied for him after his death. That's like saying, even if I'm in purgatory, whatever is gained for me, I give to the other souls in purgatory. That is certainly a heroic action, and it is a very meritorious thing to do. It is a very selfless thing to do. But all of us should be very concerned for the souls in purgatory. Perhaps we have relatives there who are counting on our prayers. There are many souls in purgatory that are totally forgotten. They have no one in this earth to pray for them. They cannot help themselves. We should strive to gain all the indulgences we can, first of all for ourselves, so that we don't have to spend years and years and years in purgatory. And secondly, for the souls that are languishing there, so that they have a speedy release from their sufferings. Next Sunday we shall go on with the next sacrament or sacraments, which would be extreme unction, and then on to holy orders. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.